behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with the young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and whom instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of the understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh upon the isles as the very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it out with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest thou, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Praise God for the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. These are promises that the Lord has made to us. Is there anybody in here that has any accusation against God Almighty that he's never kept his promises to you, that he's broken any promise that he ever made to you? Really, anybody here? The promise that he's made to those that wait upon the Lord, and the wait is not like some people, oh, I'm waiting. No, waiting like a servant, serving somebody at a table. And the promise that comes with that is the Lord has said, if you will serve me in this way, you won't be weary. You will walk and not faint, even though the young ones, they're going to faint. The athletic ones, they're going to be tired out, but you will not be. And then I'm sure that many of you are tired out. As I travel across this country and I'm in touch with people all over the country, many people are very forlorn. Many of them are very discouraged. Many of them feel like we ought to give up. We're not winning. So we're not winning? What do you mean we're not winning? We have the enemy surrounded. It's a war. We're at war. Amen. And I'm not talking about some country in the Middle East or whatever. We are at war. But it's a war that the Lord has already said that he has won. If you go to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, And it mentions there about the work of the Antichrist or the work of the beast and so forth and so on. But many people read it and they get scared. So, well, you're not reading it in the Spirit of the Lord. You're not letting the Holy Spirit show you this, because if you were reading it with the Holy Spirit being your teacher, you would not read that and be scared. You'd be encouraged. You would be uplifted. And the many things that are said here in this chapter of Scripture, and of course I hope you will also read into the next chapter, I like so much in verse 26 where it says, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in the power, not one faileth. Many people today are tired out because they spend, like some people, the television sets on 24 hours a day. Most Americans cannot handle watching television. And so they need to throw it in the garbage. And the reason I say that is because they don't just watch it so they can have better strategy in this war. They watch it and they're discouraged and it's used against them. Or all the social media. You can't deny that the social media is out there. But many are tired and discouraged because they're not looking at the right thing. And it's interesting, if you compare this passage of Scripture to later when Jesus said, look unto the hills from whence cometh your salvation. Too many of Christians, and by the way, when we stood in honor of the reading of God's word, I should have probably taken the word and gone like this with it and said, saints, hold up your swords. Many people have been sold on this pacifist mentality. And the pacifist mentality, I'm not talking about weaponry, physical weaponry. I'm talking about the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, spiritual warfare. I'm also talking about Galatians chapter 6, where we read in there, what happens to you if you faint not? In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, the due season, I have nothing to do with. I have no control over the seasons. My neighbor next door was saying, well, maybe this year it won't snow in New Hampshire and we won't go to Florida. I said, buy your ticket. Buy it now and buy it in advance so you can afford it, because it's going to snow. And if it doesn't snow, it'll be below freezing. You can be sure of that. I don't believe Al Gore, you know, global warming. And so for all of us, what are we looking at? Are we looking at the pathology of this fallen world? And yes, there's evil in the world. Or are we doing what we're told here in Isaiah 40, 31? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Teach me, Lord, to wait. And though you think I only give a message like this to the saints of God, I want to tell you, I've got a wire coming out of my head. I say things like this to Tea Party gatherings, and I speak at a lot of those. I say this, and I will be on the steps of the Capitol building in Concord, New Hampshire, January 17th, I think it is this year, the beginning of the legislative session. And I give them a speech from 2 Samuel chapter 23, the civil magistrates ruling in the fear of God must rule in the fear of God or they will be judged. I wait for them and I tell them that, as I have for years all across the country, because I'm not here to please people. Amen. I'm only here to be in the presence of the Lord and please Him. Amen. Say, we will have no other king but King Yeshua. Amen. He's the only one that can be trusted. And see, I wonder how many of us realize that it was never God's idea for us to have a king. Right. If you don't understand that, you need to read 1 Samuel chapter 8 and you'll find out it was not God's idea. And we can find out why it's not God's idea. We've seen it over and over again. We saw it in 1775 with King George III, and now we're seeing it in America with
King Obama.
I didn't say it. He did. I wouldn't say king. Emperor.
King Barry.
But remember this, and I had this thought when we were worshiping today. This thought came to me. Where's Nero? Where's the Emperor Nero?
In the grave.
probably in hell. He's at least in the grave and probably in hell. Where is the Emperor Domitian? He's probably holding hands with Nero in hell. He's certainly in the grave. They were super powerful. In fact, Nero, what he did to the Christian church of the time, and of course Domitian, many people don't know that. The Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos because of Domitian, because Domitian, as the emperor, said, "You will, and every one of you will declare that I am Dominus et Deus." And John said to him, "Hey, dude, nothing you can do is going to get me to say that." And I've had it happen to me. I said, "Look, I'm an honest, law-abiding citizen. I love this country, but I don't love this country more than I love Jesus and his word. And you can do whatever you want. Yeah, you got power. You may kill me. You may cut me up. You may draw and quarter me. You may make sausage out of me. But I'm still not going to say you're Dominus et Deus." Just like John said. That is the spirit that the Lord put upon John, put in John, and the same spirit he wants on his people today from coast to coast. And trust me when I tell you, there is plenty more than 7,000 in this land that have not bowed their knee to Baal, like in the day of Elijah. And so if you are being tired out, and see, really, you have many options. But there's one thing you do not have the option. You do not have the option to do nothing. You do not have the option to do nothing.
Amen.
You must do something. Now, some of you say, "Well, I can't get out there like Pastor Wally does, and I can't get out there like Chet and all the different ladies of the church that do different things." Well, okay. I'll say to you, okay, you can't do that. Well, maybe you're not called to do it like they are. What are you called to do? And if you tell me you don't know, I'm going to tell you, then stop eating and start praying and fasting and get out your Bible and get out a notebook and find out. And find out now before it's too late. Because you are called to do something. And by the way, I think we're all called to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I think we're all called to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the Great Commission. I think we're all called to that. And I know that there's sickness going around, and I know there's a lot of difficulties and financial problems, but I want to tell you something. What was going on at the time of the early New Testament church? What was going on at the time of the war for American independence? Do you know that poor George Washington, he had to send a letter to Congress saying, "I'm here facing 25,000 British regulars, and I got an army of 5,000 old men and boys. Would you mind sending me an army?" And people were not backing George Washington across Europe because they said, "They're not going to win." Just the same as in the early New Testament church. Who would have ever believed that the Roman Empire would fall? And the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Jesus Christ, would proliferate throughout this earth. So I commend you for coming to worship the Lord, but this is not all we're called to do. Waiting on the Lord is serving him. What does it mean to serve him? And you better have an answer for that. Not to give to me, not to give to Pastor Wally, not to give to the elders, but you better have an answer for the Lord. Lord, what have you called me to do? And I will do that. And I believe, and I'm starting in my 67th year of life, some people say, "When are you going to give up?" Give up? Me? Give up's not in my vocabulary. As long as I've got a finger that I can push the buttons on a phone, I'll call people and get them going, or I'll pray with them or something. Everyone in here can do something. If you can't walk well, certainly you can talk. If you can't talk, then get transcription or do email or something. But you do not have the option of doing nothing, and you do not have the option of remaining silent. I mean, even as Francis of Assisi said, "Well, use words if you have to." He was even looking at the thing that even somebody who was not able to use words still had ways of communicating the gospel to people and reaching people. And you know, I'm sure that some of you have had this experience. The great joy that you have when you stand up and find out, "Wow, I don't even smell like smoke. They're going to throw me in the fire and I don't even smell like smoke." Or standing, as I have numerous times, before judges in courtroom, it's, you know, they're saying they have jurisdiction over me. I said, "Well, in all due respect, the number one jurisdiction over my life is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I said, I give you respect, you know, because the Bible says honor them that to which honor is due. And I've had just recently an opportunity, 4 hours on a witness stand, quoting scripture, and it's like the enemy was, I didn't really want to go to that court. And it was a Saturday afternoon. I was reading scripture, was praising the Lord, and I'm thinking, I don't want to go to that court on Monday. I got other things to do. And then all of a sudden it occurred to me, if the devil, if Satan wants me in that courtroom, this preacher of the gospel, the patriot Pastor Garrett Lear, well, hallelujah, what a great opportunity. And I started to laugh. And I'd never even been to one of those laughing meetings that people go to. And I just started laughing and laughing and saying, that's great, what a great opportunity. Can you think like that? Instead of complaining and kvetching, that's Yiddish for complaining, by the way, for those of you who don't know. Or complaining that people are persecuting you and people are holding you back. No. The glory of the Lord is revealed in those who wait upon him. That's what he's promised here. Right? What does he say in verse 28? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. You may get tired out. I get tired out. Go take a nap. Get a couple nights sleep. Have a good meal. But our God is almighty. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He doesn't get tired out. His plan is on track absolutely, completely. And I want to be in the dead set middle of his plan.
Amen.
And I want that for you, and I want for everyone else who calls upon the name of Yeshua as their Lord and Savior to be in the middle of his will. That is the best place to be. Not just the safest place to be, it's the place where the greatest glory comes. And you'd be surprised how many times the things that have been hanging on to you, whether it be certain health problems. Years ago, a dear friend of mine, Colton Wickramaratne from Sri Lanka, which used to be called Ceylon, he went to his doctor and the doctor said, you've got heart problems, serious heart problems. So you cannot get excited and you can't be on any high-flying aircraft. And he looked at the doctor and he said, you must be joking. I get excited whenever I praise the Lord. And I fly all over the place. And the doctor says, well, it's going to kill you. Well, that was 50 years ago. He's still flying around, he's still excited, and he's still alive. Because many times what's happening is we hear these things from people. It sounds like logic, it sounds like science, but it's nothing but a curse from the devil being put on you. And I'm not saying don't be wise, and I'm not saying don't listen to wisdom and whatever else, but before you accept what anyone else has said, you better open this Bible and you better find out if it's in there or not. See? Because the enemy wants to hamstring you. He wants you to stay home, shut up, sit down, and stay out of the fight. And say, I can't stay out of the fight. When people ask me, Garrett, how's it going? Have you been getting into trouble? Of course I'm getting into trouble. That's what I'm here for. Aren't you? Because people that are lost in this world, when you bring them the gospel, or we stand up for sometimes when you don't even say a thing, you don't even say a word, just who you are and the presence of the Lord in your life and the Holy Spirit in you is enough to bring conviction on some people's life. I've had people tell me, well, why are you saying that to me? Excuse me, I didn't say anything. But you know all the encouragement that is to think, you know, the Holy Spirit is traveling to and fro across this earth to convict those that are lost and to let them to know there's only one way, only one truth, and one life, and it's in Yeshua. Let's pray. I didn't know how much time I had, so I thought that was a good time. Father, you know that I love these folks. Some I know, some I don't know. I look forward to coming and seeing them these past 5 years, because I know there are people here who deeply love you, and they worship you, and they praise you. And I pray today that I've been able to encourage them to recognize we know there's a lot of pathology, there's a lot of sin, there's a lot of evil. Maybe it looks like the worst that the world has ever known, but I don't think it's probably the worst time the world has ever known. But that doesn't make any difference. because you are the God that has revealed himself in your word, has revealed himself in this passage of scripture in Isaiah 40, and you have given us a prescription. A prescription that if we will follow, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And we all can do that. And I pray a blessing. I am a patriarch. I'm old enough to be that. I'm an elder in the body of Christ. I'm old enough to be that. I've proven that ministry. You've helped me by your grace those many years. I pronounce a blessing on those who want to serve you. I bless them in your name, Lord. Those that don't want to serve you, I pray that your conviction would come upon them and they'd realize that they can do something. They do not have the option of doing nothing in this war. They do not have the option of remaining silent at a time like this. And I do pray, Lord, as I always pray everywhere, that true natural marriage would once again be restored in this country, and that not one single baby would ever be murdered again in this country. And I thank you, Lord, for raising people up, simple folks, with the truth of the gospel. In the name of Yeshua, I pray, amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen.